Cooper Show here in the No Panic Zone. My next guest digs deep into numbers. It's what he does. Exciting fellow that he is, Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back.
Good to talk to you again.
You can find out more at crimeresearch.org on this and other topics. And the topic at hand today is police, racism, and the death of black suspects in the custody of white police officers. Obviously, it's all over the front page everywhere. But you point out in a recent op-ed that, you know, just because a suspect is black and dies in the custody of a white police officer, that doesn't mean the police officer is racist. But that is the narrative that is put out there and propagated by the media, isn't it?
Right. Well, we recently did a study looking at all the police killings in the United States over a three-year period of time. And we had to rely a lot on news stories on these things because the FBI data relies on police departments to voluntarily report this data, and police departments aren't very good at reporting it, it turns out. And one of the things that we found when we were going through this is that when a white officer kills a black suspect, the race of the officer and the race of the suspect will be mentioned in the news story. But when you have a black officer killing, let's say, a white, while the killing will be mentioned in the newspapers, you will not find information on the race of either, but definitely not the race of the officer.
How convenient.
And we had to go and do Freedom of Information Act requests and what have you, but, you know, kind of after a while, you pick up the pattern that if the race is mentioned, then you know the race is white, and if the race isn't mentioned, it's almost always going to be a minority officer. And that creates a real misimpression, unfortunately. I mean, look, we're all human. We all make mistakes on these things. A lot of these shootings, I'd say the vast majority of shootings by the officers are justified. You know, about 85% of these shootings involve the suspect having a weapon. And, you know, they're very frequently involved actually in the commission of a crime when the police officer is involved in the shooting. These are not nice people. And, you know, one of the other ironies is the deaths of black suspects overwhelmingly take place in large cities that are almost exclusively run by black, by,
right,
by Democrats.
I got you. Right. And so you look at these cities and they are you look at the mayors and the governors that are allowing this to happen. I mean, I look at the overrun in Minneapolis, and I just, you know, and when does the police department turn tail and run and let a $25 or $30 million building just get destroyed and burned? I mean, this does not create less rioting and less looting. It creates more, does it not?
Right. I mean, one of the bizarre things is here you have Democrats who are telling the police to stand down, to not protect the victims there. These are the same politicians who are releasing unusually large numbers of criminals over the last few months from prison. And they're the same people who strongly support gun control and don't want these individuals to be able to go and defend themselves. So you have this kind of perfect storm of situation where you have the same politicians say, we're not going to tell the police, we're going to tell the police not to do their job, not to protect you, and we're going to make it so you can't go and protect yourself. I mean, it just is weird that that they make these. I mean, if anything, to me, the events over the last week where you've had police being told to stand down and across the country from Portland and Seattle to Minneapolis and St. Paul to Rochester, New York, and Washington, D.C., you know, those are the same places where you have the politicians strongly support gun control, and they don't want the people to be able to protect themselves at the same time. It seems like who's being harmed by this? These are heavily black areas, usually,
right,
where these attacks are occurring. whose businesses are being destroyed for small businessmen?
Oh, we've seen the videos. We've seen the videos of black business owners. Yeah, we've seen the video. Black business owners are in tears. Everything they've built is destroyed.
Well, the workers are black, too.
Right.
They're losing their jobs. And where are people going to shop and stuff in those areas? It's blacks who normally would have been going to the stores in their own areas, and now those stores are being destroyed. So, obviously they're the victims of the violence many times themselves. And so, these politicians claim that they care about poor blacks, and yet everything that's happening here is hurting these people.
And yet it goes on, and they don't see that, you know, it's so obvious. But it almost makes you wonder, is that the intent? Honestly, is that the intent?
Well, I can't get into people's minds on this. I can just tell you what the outcome is. And there's so many things. I just give you one example here. During the Obama administration, the Obama people put out like these 13 studies claiming to prove systematic, consistent racism by police officers against blacks. They were really poorly done studies. I mean, the first one on Ferguson, they would say, look, 85% of the traffic stops involve blacks, but only two-thirds of Ferguson's population is black. The seven cities that surround Ferguson have an average population, black population, 90% black. The traffic stops were set up purposely to make people outside the city pay the traffic fines that were there because they were essentially exporting their tax burden. But here's the thing. When the Obama administration put out those studies, what do you think happened to the rate that blacks were willing to go and report crimes to police? It went down. And what happens when blacks are less willing to report crimes to police? These are crimes being committed against blacks. Well, criminals find it less risky to go and commit those crimes. So crime goes up.
And so, right, exactly. Reporting goes down, crime goes up.
The Obama administration, where we saw this big increase in violent crime, was occurring in part because of these policies from the Obama administration. The people that they claim that they care about are becoming the victims of crime because people are believing the propaganda that the Obama administration was putting out.
It's frightening to me. And then, you know, the other thing that I find, you know, the media, be it CNN or MSNBC or whomever it is, continue to pound the same narrative, you know, that it's all race-based. Everything is race-based in this country. Anyway, I'll give you the last word here, John.
Well, my concern is that it's the most vulnerable people in our society who are being harmed as a result of this misinformation that's being put out there.
I agree.
They want to go and make it so that everybody feels that everything is racially motivated. If somebody makes a mistake, I mean, I can give you white.
It's all race, all the time.
Who have been killed, but in the same way that this man in Minneapolis.
But that doesn't fit the narrative. We've got to leave it there. It's a great conversation. Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org to find out more, crimeresearch.org. As always, thank you.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.